The one of my students at our Christian school in Nigeria, business school, called Mawa, wrote me this card. I'm going to read it. He's drawn it and made it. He says, "Thank you for blessing me." To Andy. "Through you, God has given me hope for the future. Through you, God has blotted my name from the book of death and written it in the book of life. Through you, God has changed my mentality. Through you, God has given me the spirit of humility. Through you, God has given me the spirit to help others. You're so special to me." I'm going to read you, I've written a book called Refreshed and Renewed, and it's a weekly word. Weekly. So there's 53 little chapters. I'm going to read you day one. Week one. It's called the Christian Soldier's Creed. And I always start the week with a scripture, and I quote on this occasion 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, the one I read. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word of God are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, and tried by adversary and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the advent or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am a soldier. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. He can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write to me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, salutin' my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered for. I am committed. I cannot have my healings hurt bad enough to turn around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me in this army, I had nothing. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. I am a soldier in the army. And I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching, heaven bound. Here I stand. Refreshed and renewed. It's available on the bookstall in the sale. God bless you. I've written another book called True Relationships, and that's also over there in the sale. Just a few important notices to give. In January, for the past few years, J. John and I have run an evangelist conference. That is where I first met Dan. That's good. We met 2 or 3 years ago or something. And we've got another evangelist conference at a brilliant venue. So if you'd like to come to that, if you do the work of an evangelist, you may not be an evangelist, but you may be here today. If you're an evangelist, you're invited. Or if you do the work of an evangelist and you're a housewife, or you're something else, but you're doing the work of an evangelist, you are welcome. You don't have to be an evangelist to come to the evangelist conference in January. You are really, really most welcome. If you go on the Philo Trust website, Philo Trust, men and women, you today who do the work in evangelist, come. Great venue, great food, great speakers, wonderful worship. You won't be the same again, and it will equip you to be a better person to share the gospel. So we invite you to that. In a few weeks' time, you've got an event coming up on the 25th of September, and you've got a speaker called Mark Ritchie. Have you heard him before? I think Mark Rich is one of the best evangelists in Britain. And if you never heard him, it's guaranteed he won't let you down. Or the people that you bring, the people that you bring are in, if I can put it like this, in safe hands. Bring people that don't know Jesus. If this isn't your church normally, come anyway. Come on the 25th of September and bring someone who doesn't know Jesus. He's an incredible evangelist with a great gift of humor. He's amazing. And if you've got people that don't know Jesus, you can invite them tomorrow as well, where I'll be speaking. So that's the 25th of September, the big, big welcome. Thanks. The book on natural evangelism is over there, and that's just £5. So get your copy today. In our last session today, we're going to anoint you with oil and commission you. And I feel that's really, really important. I was invited to go and speak at Trevor's church in Dudley, and he said, come and inspire us and impart to us. He wanted impartation, so he said, and then pray for us, Andy. And I gave the opportunity for people to be prayed for at the end. And not even in Africa have I ever seen this. Everybody got up, everybody came out, there wasn't one person left that was sitting, and they all just lined up, and after teaching and revelation, hopefully, and information and encouragement and inspiration and perspiration. They lined up to be prayed for and anointed. And we go in the power of the Spirit to do this work, don't we? And that's really an important aspect of what we're going to do at the close of our day today. Right, I want this table here to write this scripture down. John 1. We're thinking about what is evangelism now. I just want to talk about what is evangelism. So John 1, this table, 41 and 42. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to read that. This table here, I'm going to ask you to read John 1, 43 and 45. This table here, I'm going to ask you to read John 4, 28 to 30. This table here, Naomi's table, I'm going to ask you to read Luke 5, 27 to 32. And that table over there, got with some nice young people, hello. I'm going to ask you to read Acts 16, 25 to 34. Okay, Dan's table. Bring. Who did he bring? He brought his brother Simon. That's right. Could you read your scripture? Did Philip tell? Okay. And this table here? Thank you. The Philippian jailer shared with whom? His family, yeah. So in some of those cases, it starts with the people at home, the people close by, doesn't it? Where I live in Emsworth, over the past months, I started to notice a man walking around the water, and then after a while, I began to talk to him. I began with hello. Hello. One word. And then I might have gone on to like, good morning. It's like two words. That's how it began. And it began sometimes with hi. Nice day. That's it. This went on for some months. And then one day I noticed he's carrying a coffee. And I'm thinking, here we go. So I approached him and said a few things. And then we began to walk round the water. He's carrying his coffee and we're chatting. So that was the first time we had like what I would call quite a significant conversation. And I might have spent 15, 20 minutes with him, walking slowly round the water and Emsworth as he's carrying his coffee, we're chatting. And he begins to tell me about his life and what he does. And I ask him about what he does. And then a month or two later, we exchange phone numbers. And then I text him, he texts me, and I invite him for breakfast. And I pay for the breakfast, and it's great. And then he invites me for breakfast. And now he, you know, we're like meeting in Costa regularly. He's a Costa man. He loves Costa. I think he probably goes 4 or 5 times a week. Sits in there, gets a takeaway, and we're in Costa chatting. And I'm just getting to know him. And I'm fishing. What am I doing? This is called friendship evangelism. This is natural yet supernatural evangelism. It's like you were telling me how you stopped for that person yesterday. how you stop to speak to someone who is homeless. You felt a prompting to stop and not walk by. I felt a prompting to reach out and begin a relationship, a friendship with a total stranger. I don't need a platform. If I'm an evangelist, I don't need a platform. I don't need an invite. I'm an evangelist because I am sharing the gospel at times with anybody, anywhere. I'm not defined by I'm a speaker up front, therefore I'm an evangelist. You know, I'm just naturally, so I have in mind to befriend this guy, I'm not going to tell you his name, more and more. So I've got some significant things to do between now and December. J. John's visit. I'm fishing. I'm intentional. Like, so I've got like breakfast to do, chit-chatting to do. I may or may not speak to him about Jesus. I've started. He knows who I am. He knows what I am and what I do. He knows. He knows more than that as well. But I'm building a friendship, and then I'm building it so that it gets so strong, not like, you know, like the fourth bridge or anything, but strong enough. So when I invite him to come to the J. John Christmas Carol service in Emsworth, where he and I live, he will come. I remember I wanted my barber to come to a guest service that I was speaking to in Chichester a few years ago, and the Lord said to me, don't invite him yet. He isn't going to come. He just cuts your hair. Yet he's told you about his daughter and her illness, and he confides in you, and he likes you, and he's been cutting your hair for years, but he just cuts your hair. You don't really know this guy really well. He isn't going to come. I said, well, what do I do then, Lord? He said, this is what I want you to do. So put this thought in my head. That's what he does. That's what he does. It's like the armor bearer said to Jonathan, whatever's in your mind, I'm with you, heart and soul. Whatever's in your mind, I'm going to do it. I'm with you. Whatever's in your mind is from God. God's with you. I'm with you. We're all together. So God put something in my head and heart. Don't invite him yet. The bridge is not strong enough to take the invite. Build the bridge. So I went to get my hair cut. I said to him, Francis, can I take you for lunch one day? He says, yeah. So we arrange it. So one day after the haircut, I pick him up from work, drive him to the restaurant or near it, park, walk to the restaurant, have the meal. We walk back through the streets of Chichester, and he turns to me and says to me, when I'm with you, and when you talk about your God, I feel closer to him. I said, oh, do you? He said, yes. I said, good. I said, this Sunday, I'm speaking at the little church there at 10 o'clock. It's a guest service. You're my guest. Will you come? He said, I'll try. I might. I said, come. I'll look out for you. I'll look out for you. Come. So I prayed. He came. And I walked on. I thought, he's there. Thank you. Proclaimed the gospel. Heard the gospel. And then I followed that up. It's important that we sometimes build bridges. So we've got J. John coming to Emsworth. And it's like Christians can only come. We're going to insert a rule. And the rule is, come Christian, born again Christian who knows Jesus, and get your ticket and get a ticket or two for your friend who doesn't know Jesus. But if you don't come and bring a friend, you ain't coming, innit? So, you know, J. John has booked the Emirates. Booked the Emirates. Flipping egg. It's not like booking something easy. So on one Saturday next year, they're about to sign the contract very soon. And it will be signed, sealed, delivered then. And the Philo Trust and J. John are like itching to sign the contract. For one day, one Saturday, I think it's the 7th, the first Saturday of July next year. And the vision is this, 30,000 bring 30,000. Christian, don't come. We don't want backsliders to come. We don't want Christian backsliders to come. We want 30,000 born-again people to bring someone who doesn't know Jesus. We don't want them to bring backsliders. We don't want 60,000 stadium full of Christians. That's the vision. We're under instruction. And we're propelled by the Spirit to stop for the homeless person and build bridges. So you've got a few weeks between now and the 25th of September. Then later, you've got another guy that I think is known to you, haven't you? Barry. He's not bad. Barry Woodward. He's crazy, isn't he? In a great way. Another opportunity. And these speakers will deliver. So who are you going to bring in 2 weeks to hear Mark Ritchie? Who could you bring? Now, to bring them, you need to do some homework. You need to, like, build some bridges. Because if some of these people that you know, if you just go and invite them tonight, they ain't coming. But if you pray, they'll come. And if you work and build a bridge, they will come. So between now and 2 weeks' time, go to work. Pray, pray, pray. So I'm praying, Lord, on top of the guy that I'm going to invite, who else do you want me to be building bridges that doesn't know Jesus? So that when December comes, at that carol service, I'm going to give an invite and an invitation for them to come and hear a speaker. The other thing I want to talk about in this session is we've got a tremendous testimony. So the gospel that we preach has power. It has inherent power. I gave a gospel book to J. John and he became a Christian. How does that work? After months of friendship, one day I gave him a gospel book. We prayed for his conversion. He read the booklet. He prayed the prayer, came up to me in college and said, I read the book, I prayed the prayer, what do I do now? I read the book, I prayed the prayer, what do I do now? We're like praying for his conversion now. You know, the day I gave him the gospel book, we're praying. My friends know that I've been befriending this guy, I've mentioned him before. Now we're praying that when he reads about Jesus, he'll get a revelation, the penny will drop, that he'll open the door. And Revelation 3:20 did its work. The Lord Jesus did its work. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, spoke to J. John. Behold, I stand at the door and knock spoke to me that on the 28th of July in 73 at 10 p.m. at night in a little village in Oxted, Surrey, I opened the door because that verse, that truth, that Jesus spoke to me. Behold, listen, I stand at the door and knock. That's what they told me. I believed them. That's what I read. I believed it. That's what the Spirit did. He touched me with that. That he was standing at the door of my life. And I knew that when I said, I opened the door, come into my life. When J. John read that gospel book that day and invited Christ to come in, He believed he was coming in and he came in. A few days later, he told me, he went home, he read it, he opened the door. And that very week, just a few days later, I arranged to meet him at a specific time at a specific location in North London, and we drove him to our lively youth fellowship and introduced him to other Christians and that whole environment where he was discipled for the next 2 years. I shared my story with him. It was like natural with him. Like, I don't know how many Chinese meals we had during college days. He wasn't in my class. I was studying engineering. He was in a completely different class, but we'd bump into each other, have a little bit more of a chit-chat. 1 month turned into 6 of friendship, of occasional talks, lunches, and then it was finished in a way, his first big step, with reading the gospel in a little book and opening the door. Now, I'll come on to that a little bit, but about our testimony, because your testimony and my testimony, God uses. We've got two things at our disposal. They're like weapons. The gospel of the kingdom and of Jesus, one. Number two, your story. I'm still learning how to say it. I've learned like a number of creative ways of sharing it. We'll look at that in a minute from Acts 26, but let's just look at Romans 1, if you'd like to turn to that. I'll say a few things about the gospel before we look at the testimony. Romans 1, 14. I am obligated both to Greeks. That's me. And non-Greeks, that's you. Both to the wise, that's me. And to the foolish, I'm not going to say you. So the first thing that we read about here was a man that was, what are you? I'm a plumber. Yeah, what are you? I'm a lawyer. What are you? I'm a director of Soteria Trust. What are you? I'm a mother. What are you? I'm unemployed at the moment, but I'm getting a job on Tuesday. What are you, Paul? I am obligated to all people. Another version puts it like this. I have a great sense of obligation to people in our culture and to people in other cultures. To the educated and the uneducated alike. He goes on to say, verse 15, that is why I am so eager. What are you, Paul? Well, you could say, oh, I'm an apostle, I'm a pastor, I'm an evangelist, I was blind, but now I see. What are you, Paul? I'm a tent maker to help my ministry. What are you, Paul? I am so eager. That's what I am. Like at 60, I am more eager now about Jesus and the gospel than ever before. More eager. He says, I'm obligated. I am so eager to do what? To preach, to share the gospel also to you who are at Rome. He's like a Trinitarian. I am obligated. I am so eager. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's what I am. What am I? I'm obligated. What, to a pension? To security? What am I? I'm obligated to people. People in our culture and people not in our culture. People of other cultures. To all sorts of people. What are you, Andy? I am so eager. I was on a plane coming back from Ethiopia and I felt the Lord say to me, speak to that man there. I said, Lord, how do I start? What do I say? He said, do this. Say this. I said, okay. So I took out a little leaflet, little gospel leaflet thing. Lean over somebody, because I don't want to speak to the person next to me. I want to speak to the person next to him. I lean over someone and say to him, excuse me, sir, I'd like to give you this little book. Thank you. He looks at it. He's starting to read it now. I'm looking at him with this eye. I start praying, Jesus. 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 Get him. 5 minutes pass. He's still looking at the book. I can't believe it. It's full of pictures, just a few words. It like a dog could read it in 3 minutes. So I'm looking at him. I'm still praying this powerful prayer. Jesus. What's he doing? Get him, Lord. 20 minutes passed. I'm thinking, wow, he's still looking at it. Something's happening. He's serious. 20 minutes. I carry on praying. Jesus. He turns to me. He says, excuse me, sir. I said, yes. He said, what does this mean? I said, what? He says, this. What? You must be born again. Oh, I'll explain that. So he asked me a question. I explain that, what it means to be born again and how he can be born again, and tell him he must be born again. He should be born again. Please be born again. Encourage him to take the step. And he's thoughtful and reflective and respectful. Because I'm obligated. Because I'm so eager. And lastly, and this is the best thing, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I love him. I love the gospel. He's changed my life. He's changed your life. He's changing my life. He's changing your life. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. The gospel is powerful, whether it's in word and read, whether it's proclaimed, whether it's chit-chatted over a coffee, whatever, however, the gospel of Jesus has inherent power. It does not depend on how well I proclaim it, pronounce it, share it. God can cover my mistakes, your mistakes, the things that we miss out. The gospel is powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation. There are moments in Nigeria when I go back and I'm alone and something's happened and I say before God, in all honesty, Lord, if I die now, it's great. You could take me now and I'd be really happy. There's no other place I would rather be than here now. The move of God is just sometimes so sweet. The presence of God. Sometimes I just want to be removed from people when God breaks out and I see him and I just need to be alone for a while. Kind of almost on my knees or just quiet. And it's at those rarer moments that I go a step further and say, I'm really content. You could take me now. I don't mind. Let's turn to Romans 26, where just something little about our testimony. Our testimony is amazing, isn't it? Acts 26. Romans 26. Yeah, Romans 26. Acts 26. Now, Paul here, from verses 4 to about 23, we can't read it. It's too long. Paul is talking to Agrippa and some others and giving his story. And in verses 4 to 11, it's like BC. He tells Agrippa what he was like before conversion. I could tell you a bit about what I was like before I was converted. You could tell me something about you before you were born again. For Paul, it included him being a murderer. For Paul, it included him being really educated, having gone to university, being very religious, being very strict and a Pharisee, being on the Sanhedrin, blah, blah, blah. Zealous, 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 religious, religious, religious. Before he was conversion, he tells Agrippa. Then he tells Agrippa something of his conversion. On one of those journeys, verse 12, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven. Now, he begins to tell of when God broke in. You've got a story like that. It may be when God broke in many years ago. It may be when God broke in last week or last month. I could tell you things that when God broke in just a few years ago. I don't have to go back to my conversion or even last week, even this week on retreat, when God broke in. Jay-John and I run an annual retreat for our associates. God broke in. I could tell you something about when God broke in this week. Paul tells Agrippa when God broke in, when he was on the road. And he tells him from verses 12 to 19. It's a good model, but you don't have to carbon copy this. We can be quite creative. But he tells him what he was like before conversion. Before my conversion, I had no intention, respect for Jesus at all. Before my conversion, I was a thief. I stole from people. I stole from shops. I stole from school. I was an excellent thief because I never got caught. Never. I was the thief of thieves. I was in a gang. I know you can't believe it, can you? I know. I was. I never got caught. They all got caught, got in trouble. I never got caught. I'd go into shops with the gang, and in front of them, I would steal things. I'd show them what I was stolen. And then just suddenly, out of the blue, I experienced Christ. I turned my life around. A life of seeking self, living for self, no regard for anybody, no regard for you. If you've got something I want, I'll take it from you, schmuck. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big or strong you are. You're not big or stronger than me. I'll nick it from you, mate. You're not my mate. Completely changed me. And then slowly has transformed me through the years. Having made the decision as my Lord, I'm learning more and more what it means for him to be Lord. Andy, where you go, where I go, you go. Is that true? Yes, Lord. What you say, you're going to say? Oh, I can't say that, Lord. I ain't saying that. Someone gave me a task to do the past few days. I thought, I can't do that. Jay John said, you've got to tell him. I said, I can't. I said, you've got to tell him, John said. You've got to tell him. I said, Lord, he's bigger than me. He ain't going to take it. I can't confront this person. I don't want to do confrontation with this person. I ain't doing it. I said to Jay John, I'm not doing it. Andy, you've got to do it. I said, John, I can't. I'd like to. I ought to. I can't do it. He said, you've got to do it. Break your ass. I'll break it. I said, Lord, help me. So the Lord gave me grace to confront. Some of you need to confront some things. That's why I'm saying this, I think. Some of you need to confront some people. Some of you need to confront yourself and say, I'm not having this anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. I don't need to do this anymore. Some of you need to go to that person and in the right way, speak to them, say it with the prayer that they will say, you're right. So I confronted this person. This person said, no, it's not like that, it's like this. I said, it is. He said, you're right. I'm sorry. I said, it's okay. Don't do it again. And then Paul, from verses of Acts 26, 19, from 19 to 23, he tells something to Agrippa, verse 19. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. He begins to tell them something of what has happened to him now after his conversion. Before conversion, conversion. And then after. This is my life now. I'm more peaceful. I've got a peace. What's your life like now? I feel I'm at peace with me. I'm forgiven. I've got a new life. I've got purpose. I know this Jesus. He set me free from so many things. He's with me every day and helped me in this way or the other. Give me an amazing work and job, which is like the best in the world. I love it. That's my Jesus. I've got a home in heaven. If you ask me, do you know if you have eternity or not? I would say yes. I was in a church recently and I said to the people, I felt the Lord say to me, I was in a really traditional Anglican church. I don't know if they're saved, like you and I understand. Maybe two or three or four. Maybe, that's all. So I said to them, if you die soon, can you say today that you're going to be with Christ? If I asked you, do you know that you have eternal life? What would you say? I said to this church 2 weeks ago. I said, some people say, I don't know. That's a good question to ask. Do you know what high percentage of people would say, I don't know? Now there's another high percentage, another group of people that would say, I hope so. So I said to them, don't go out the door. Without knowing. Read them from 1 John 5, I think 13. I write this that you may know that you have eternal life. You have a story. Don't undervalue yourself. Don't think your story doesn't count. Don't think that it's not much of a story. Don't think, well, there's still lots of stuff there. You've got a story. God's given you and I two things. One, a gospel to proclaim, a Jesus to announce. That's what he's given us. A kingdom to share. A Jesus who's the same yesterday, today. And he's given us a story. You can share your story. I can share my story. I'm obligated. Join me today. Let's sign up. Let's sign up and say to Christ, I'm in. Enlist me deeper. I'm in. Let's sign up. I'm in. I'm obligated. Show me what it means. I'm in. I'm eager. I'm eager, Lord. Sign me up. Eager to share the gospel. My story, I'm so eager. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. Today, I've got some of my books here. This is the last time I'm ever going to do it in this church. Can't keep doing it. I feel embarrassed. I've got some of my books here, and in a moment, we're finishing now. My gospel book. If you want me to sign them, I'll do it. David, can you help me?
Sure.
Three gospel books, £10 for three. Buy 3, 6, or 9. 3, 6, 9. The goose drank wine. The monkey got choked on something. Do you remember that? 3, 6, 9. You can get 3, 6, or 9. They're £10 for three. Come and get a go. No, don't put them on the table, David. Put them on the floor. Yeah. This will be untidy. Just spread them out. Shall we stand? Just.
It's on the floor.
Yeah. Just put them on the floor. Lovely. So now, just come out and get however many you'd like, whether it's 3 or 6 or 9, and then put the money in the tin there. If you haven't got any money, send a check. If you haven't got any money because you're poor, take them anyway. Or go and see Dan. He's got loads of money. He's got loads of money. But just come and take what you feel comfortable with. And in the next 1 or 2 weeks, give them out. And you're going to run out. And what are you do then? Then go and get some other gospel books from someone else or whatever. And then give them out. And that's one way of reaching out. Come now. Thank you. Every hour. So just come and we'll have lunch as well. Thank you.